It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. One of the things we're talking about is a recent roundtable hosted by President Joe Biden.
We're going to invest $1 billion in new and expanded meat and poultry processing capacity to bring in more competition. And when we do this, we'll give farmers and ranchers more options beyond giant processing conglomerates. Second, we're strengthening rules to protect farmers, ranchers, and other producers. Third, the United States government, my administration, will enforce existing competition laws vigorously and fairly. They're all there to make sure that antitrust laws are enforced across the board. Fourth, we're bringing greater transparency to the industry. A free market isn't truly free without transparency around prices. And right now, that's largely disappeared in the cattle market transparency.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Secretary for Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's good to be with you, Tony.
Let's start with the big roundtable held just recently over at the White House. This involved you and Attorney General Merrick Garland, and it was dealing with anti-competitive practices and really towards the livestock industry. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, Tony, this was an opportunity for President Biden to visit with farmers directly and farm leaders to hear their concerns about the lack of competition and capacity in processing throughout the country and its impact on farm income. The president is obviously very sympathetic to the concerns of producers who feel that right now processors are making record profits while producers who do a tremendous amount of work to produce the protein that we enjoy in this country are getting an ever-shrinking share of that food dollar. And the president was pleased to be able to announce a commitment of $1 billion in a variety of programs at USDA to be able to try to meet the demand for expanded capacity for more competition, forms of grants and loans to small, very small and mid-sized processing facilities that will increase capacity, increase competition, improve farm income, create jobs in rural communities, and frankly will also be beneficial to consumers because they'll now have choice in the grocery stores. So a good day. Obviously, what we heard yesterday was what I've been hearing and what I'm sure you have been hearing for a number of years about the need for this relationship to be more balanced. And I think expanding capacity is one way to do that.
We talk about the cattle industry in particular. We're talking about a very expensive proposition if you want to start adding hook space, if you will. And so that's probably factored into this money.
Well, there's no question. And that's why we established a variety of mechanisms to provide help and assistance. So for very small production facilities that are currently in business, we try to reduce the inspection fees. So their operating costs were a little bit lower. For small and mid-sized operations that wanted to modernize their facility, to be able to expand their operations so that they could market across state lines by having an inspection system that was equivalent to the federal system. We provided a series of modernization grants. For folks who are concerned about the ability to have cold storage or warehousing or mobile slaughter units or expanding existing processing facilities to add more space and more capacity, we created a loan guarantee program to make that banker a little bit feel a little bit easier about lending the money for an expansion project. And then for those who just need a little bit of help to get that project off the ground, we created a grant program. We anticipate and expect this spring to put out a request for proposal. We'll receive applications from folks who will want a portion of that grant money to finish a project, to get it over the finish line, if you will. And we look forward to hopefully maybe financing as many as 15 or so projects with that effort. And there's a $225 million grant program that will be announced in the summer, and then a $275 million loan program that will create more affordable loan conditions and agreements for facilities that just need additional capital. So all of this is designed to help, and we're also addressing the other concern we hear, which is a workforce concern, being able to make sure that we've got enough well-educated, well-experienced, and well-trained and experienced folks to work in these processing facilities. So we're putting money aside to assist in developing a workforce.
Can't let you go without bringing this up, because as you were between your time as Secretary of Agriculture earlier and this stint, you spent some time in the dairy industry. Is it okay to celebrate at this point something that just recently happened with USMCA in Canada?
Well, I think it's important to understand the context of the decision the panel has made, because I think it reflects the Biden-Harris administration's view on trade. And we've got to rebuild trust in trade and in trade agreements. And one way to build that trust is to make sure that agreements that we enter into are actually enforced in the way in which they were intended. And unfortunately, with our friends in Canada, we've had a number of circumstances where they've agreed to do certain things with reference to the dairy industry, and then they have figured out creative ways around what they initially agreed to. And that was unfortunately the case with USMCA, where they weren't basically following the agreement on tariff rate quotas. And so this decision, I think, is an indication of, A, they're going to have to live up to the letter of the agreement, the spirit of the agreement, which is important to the dairy industry. But in a larger sense, it's even more important because it sends a very clear signal for all who have concerns about whether the U.S. gets a fair shake of trade agreements, that this is an administration that feels very strongly about enforcing trade agreements and using the resources under trade agreements or under international law to do so.
Mr. Secretary, thanks for your time and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tony. Thank you very much.
Again, it's the Honorable Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, on today's Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
As farmers and ranchers, stewardship of the land comes naturally. Your work keeps our water clean, improves the soil, and enhances wildlife habitat. It also provides countless benefits, not just for you and your family, but for millions of Americans who depend on this region every day without even realizing it. Thank you for being stewards of America's prairie for all of us. Take a moment to find out how conservation pays. Visit conservationpays.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Well, the 2022 Beltwide Cotton Conference underway at the San Antonio Marriott River Center. It's 3 days of reports, panel discussions, hands-on workshops, and seminars, and really has moved from a producer-type event to more of a white paper-type event. But reporting from San Antonio, Chuck Zimmerman.
First of all, Dave, introduce yourself. Tell us your name and what you do.
Sure. I'm Dave Albers. I work for Bayer in our cotton business. I'm a cotton product development manager.
I know you're one of the sponsors here. Tell us a bit about your support for the cotton conferences, starting out here with the consultants.
Yes, the Beltwide, of course, has a long history, and as a technical conference, longer history. Also, as a production conference, and Bayer and predecessor organizations like Monsanto have supported this conference for years and years. And it's a great opportunity for having this kind of information exchange, and certainly Bayer's been a strong supporter in recent years, and look to the future as well.
How about when it comes to what Bayer has to offer to cotton growers at this point?
Sure. Of course, in our Delta Pine brand, we've just released two more new varieties, and all of these varieties are Bolgard 3 and ExtendFlex. So certainly those traits are important for growers, and that builds on recent strong classes like our class of 20 and 21. So our breeding engine is doing a great job bringing new products to growers. On the trait side, we're also developing, and we'll have another another round of stewarded groundbreakers trials on our Thrive-On trait. That's a trait that protects against thrips early season and then plant bugs through fruiting. So those are new products and new traits that we're really excited about at Bayer.
Yes, I know you're also on the program here, and mentioning Thrive-On, you have another representative just really focusing in on that, so you've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, the thing that makes Thrive-On really unique is that it's the first trait, transgenic trait, that in cotton or any crop to really focus on these two pests. So we're learning a lot about what it means to the cotton plant to have that protection early against thrips, to get the plant off to a much better, quicker start, develop early leaf area, and then have that strong plant with higher retention due to the square protection or fruiting protection from plant bugs. So, I mean, it's a whole new set of pests that we're learning a lot about.
On the session you were presenting in, is there anything there, any takeaways you might want folks to know about?
Well, certainly, Bolgard and other BT traits, and now currently Bolgard 3, are critical traits for the cotton industry. You know, you go all the way back to when Bolgard was introduced. I mean, the cotton industry was at a point where, you know, tobacco budworms could not be controlled, and Bolgard provided an amazing tool at that point. Now, 25-plus years later, we still have some issues, particularly with corn earworm or cotton bollworm, the Zaya pest, and certainly the industry, you know, with the private sector companies, with the public sector university researchers, with the consultants. I think, you know, we've really done a great job coming together to discuss these issues. What is it going to take for us to bridge that gap to when the next new set of BT traits comes to the market? And because that's an investment not only in money but in time, because of the regulatory pathway that we have to go through, not only for USDA and EPA approval in the U.S., but also for the export approvals. All that takes time. So I think it's important that we really look down the road and say, okay, what's it going to take for us to bridge that gap and to really have good tools and for growers to control these pests during the interim?
Anything else before we close?
The public sector, you know, we work closely with the universities to test germplasm, and I think they really need, growers need to be paying attention at their winter meetings to understand all the new germplasm options, any other new trainings that they need for their part of the world. We support, those kinds of efforts, with the academics, with the universities, and I think it's an important pathway for us to get the information out to our customers.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dave, for taking some time to visit with me here. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.
Thanks, Chuck. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report. Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA, talks about how 2021 ended with weather.
And we escaped much of the severe weather, but we did see a few more tornadoes across the interior southeast, places like Alabama, Georgia. We also saw some flooding in the Ohio Valley and the Tennessee Valley. And of course, we had the wind-driven wildfires across Colorado. And then other areas of the country also experienced adverse weather. We saw the new year being rung in with a significant snowstorm from the central Rockies and central plains on into the mid Midwest and the Northeast. And some of that occurred in 2021 and may well contribute to this winter storm barrage that hit at the end of 2021 from coast to coast, storminess in the West, wildfires in Colorado, severe weather in the Southeast, flooding in the lower Midwest and interior Southeast, snow as you move to the North. Quite an ending to the year that I think in some form will find its way onto the billion-dollar list.
Brad Rippey, meteorologist with USDA. It's the Agribusiness Report.
What happens when Fendt and Livingston Machinery work to make your tractor buying experience the best in the industry? You get a 3-year, 3,000-hour full machine warranty, all scheduled maintenance, and a loaner guarantee, all at no additional cost. The Fendt Gold Star program is setting a new standard in customer care. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Denver, we caught up with Dr. Kerry Ryan, pet cloning and genetic preservation expert with Viagen in Cedar Park, Texas.
We've been working with dogs and cats for 3 years. We're the only company in the United States that clones dogs and the only company in the world that clones cats. And we've also been cloning horses and livestock for about 15 years. So I think this will be here to stay. And I think as we get better and better at it, the costs will come down and people will be more and more interested in it.
There's more information at avma.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA will issue commodity outlooks for 2022 at its annual Agricultural Outlook Forum in February.
The people that are, I think, primarily interested in this information are the folks who buy and sell these commodities, who trade these commodities.
Mark Chekanowski, who chairs USDA's World Agricultural Outlook Board, stresses that individual farmers also benefit from the information.
It's the farmer who will use these commodity outlooks and price projections and the market signals that are reflected in those price projections. The farmer is going to use this information to develop their own acreage mix and determine what to plant and how much to plant.
One example he notes is high prices for fertilizer.
So that could impact acreage of some of the more fertilizer intensive commodities like corn or like cotton. But on the same token, prices for those commodities are also relatively high, so there's going to be some trade-offs there.
This is Stephanie Hove in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report.